It's noon here in Ventnor City, New Jersey, and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., and this is news that you can use from CarEdge for Friday, March 29th. Good Friday, by the way. And this is your host, me, Ray, and, well, Zach. How are you today, handsome?
Happy Friday, everyone. We've got a holiday weekend coming up, so hopefully everyone has a good Friday and then a nice weekend. Dad, let's kick things off first by reminding folks, CarEdge.com. That's us, me and my dad. Yeah. We started that 4 years ago every day, fighting the good fight, trying to help folks save money and be informed and empowered when they go through the car buying experience. If we can help, check it out, caredge.com. Our end of month promotion ends in 2 days. Dad, the big story today, we've got more layoffs. More layoffs, man. Every day this week, I feel like there are just more and more indications of the auto industry struggling. Ford to dramatically cut hourly workforce at F-150 Lightning plant in Dearborn. We've got, I mean, let's go through this. Of the 2,100 workers who make up the three work crews at the Rouge Electric Vehicle Center in Dearborn, one third will remain on site after April 1st. So we'll get to the fact that a third of them are being given retirement packages. A third are moving to a different plant where they're going to produce Broncos and Rangers. They're cutting staff at this one plant by 66%.
You ain't doing that, are you? Do I still have a job?
66%. That's a humongous slash in jobs. And I've got tab on tab on tab open here that we'll go through, but you know, there are other automakers doing the exact same thing. We talked about it very recently over at Jeep. They did similarly. They removed 700 temp workers. Yeah. But we've also seen salaried roles as well, both at Chevrolet, General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis. Another sign, Dad, of what's going on in the auto industry. They are making significant changes to their business models and to their staffing models to try and, I don't know, dig out from losing millions on electric vehicles and cars that aren't selling.
You were off on the millions. They're losing billions on their electric vehicle investments at this particular point in time. It's the telling aspect of this is that it is happening at the Ford Lightning production. That was, you know, when that truck was first announced, that was like the second coming. The minute they turned on the order banks, they had 150,000 orders. Or was it a 15? It was, you know, some BS number of orders that they had. And they dramatically increased the MSRPs from the day they first opened the order banks to the day that they first started shipping the vehicles. And they are nowhere near the price points that they had suggested they would be when they first announced those vehicles. And because of that, and because of the increase in interest rates, the demand is somewhat lessened, and to a large degree, dramatically lessened than what they had expected or had originally intended. And therefore, they have to cut back the workforce that builds those things. It's almost a testament to the hubris of these manufacturers in their attempt to so quickly and radically move towards EVs. I think it points out the sense that Toyota showed by slowly moving towards EVs, but dramatically increasing their hybrid capability as that bridge, the ultimate bridge to get people to EVs. The American public to a certain degree is fighting that move to electrified vehicles.
And we're seeing huge changes in business models as a result of it and staffing models to accommodate it. It's not just at the factory. General Motors to close Chandler Innovation Hub, layoff 900 and 36 workers. That was at the end of last year. More recently, General Motors, this was just at the end of February, so a month ago, General Motors is cutting hundreds of salaried positions as it follows other major companies, including competitors, in downsizing headcounts to preserve cash and boost profits. Then you have the plant closures or the layoffs at the plant level. GM to lay off 1,300 workers across two Michigan plants as vehicle production ends. And then, Dad, we just covered it last week, the big news at Stellantis laying off 400 salary employees. And that was after they had let go of 700 temporary workers on the production line. So you don't have to look that far or be Sherlock Holmes here to see what's going on. The investigation's pretty quick and easy. Their sales are down. Inventories are building up. And at the end of the day, what's happening are people are losing their jobs.
Well, honestly, I don't know that sales are down, but sales are slower than what they had expected. And in many cases, if sales are not down, it is because of increased fleet sales and production.
Exactly.
Retail sales, as we know them to the ultimate retail customer, may be down a tad. But what it also points out is even though they're losing billions on electrification and they're cutting back employees, stock prices are doing extremely well for all of these manufacturers. You know, we talk about Ford, we talk about Stellantis, you can talk about GM. You know, Stellantis's stock is I believe, at an all-time high. You know, it is a European automotive manufacturing company these days. And I'm not going to suggest for a second that the North American market isn't important to them. Of course it is. But, you know, they're even though they're struggling in the United States, they're making record profits. They're you know, laying off workers and continuing to make record profits. It is the perfect example of putting profits over people.
It's happening, Dad. It's happening at the dealer level as well. AutoNation cuts back regional executives, reports $7 million in severance expenses. That was last month. AutoNation said it's trying to reduce internal bureaucracy and, quote, increase direct interactions with the executive team. I mean, so we're seeing cutbacks happen everywhere. At the OEM level, at the dealer level. It feels to me, I mean, I was very young back in 07, 08, but it feels a little bit like that. Like people can read the writing on the walls. They can see that sales are not going to be as robust. Fleet sales later this year, they're going to be tapped out. That well is going to run dry. And you need to start to conserve cash so that you can operate your business. And really what's going to happen is you're going to see increased incentives to try and get the cars sold. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but these are big, meaningful layoffs that are happening at the OEM and at the dealer level.
They are, and they are done to preserve stock values. Okay, which indicates to me, and let's face it, I have worked for mom and pop dealers, and I have worked for big corporate dealers. You know, it's no secret I worked for the Penske organization for quite some time.
Yep.
And you know, ultimately, it comes down when it's a publicly traded company is to what boosts your stock's value. As the executives of those companies know, their fiduciary responsibility is a return on investment for their stockholders. So when that's the case, the people who, as Mr. Penske used to always refer to them, you know, the human capital, which are so very, very important to our business, are only so very, very important to our business while our stock prices are continuing to go up. As our stock prices stagnate or go down, and we need to improve our fiscal, the depth of our fiscal responsibilities, then suddenly that human capital is not nearly as important as it used to be, whether it be regional executives, whether it be localized executives, whether it be salespeople, whatever it is. You're only important to the company while the company is making money hands over fist. Once the company is just making a modest amount of money, then well, you're no longer important. And that's the sad reality about corporations and most businesses. And you know, my hope is that for you, you don't ever get to that point, or it's 30 years before you ever get to that point.
Don't worry about our company. I'm more interested on the impact on the industry. And I think there's a very real impact on the industry. And that's why we're seeing increased incentives. We're seeing these layoffs. Like, those things are happening for a reason. And it's because the decisions that have been made to transition to electric vehicles at their high prices, like, it's just not working.
Well, you know, and if inflation hadn't reared its ugly head, and if the Fed hadn't had to increase rates in order to try and fend off inflation, would we be in the situation we're in today with these layoffs? My suspicion is that we would not. My suspicion is that the amount of sales would have continued at a really brisk pace. More people would be in the market today than there presently are, because interest rates would have been lower. And so that I don't think we would be seeing the layoffs. So to me, it still boils down to the most fundamental of issues, and that is consumer affordability. And until manufacturers address that, and I think some manufacturers are starting to, until they address that and they can bring a bigger swath of the American public back into the market, we're going to continue to see downsizing of the manufacturing workforce and cuts in employees at publicly traded companies. It's, you know, until they solve the affordability issue, we're not going to see things really dramatically improve.
Yeah, I completely agree. One way to solve the affordability issue is to incentivize the sale of vehicles. We're seeing continued upward spend on incentives, which, you know, will demonstrate themselves when we see quarterly earnings. Let's switch gears, Dad. There's a really interesting story coming out of New York State. The New York State Attorneys General has gotten nearly $2 million back into consumers' hands. Nissan auto dealers to pay $1.9 million in refunds penalties over lease buyout fees. Wow. I know I'm just bringing this on you. Did you see this article, Dad?
I did not see the article. So
do you have any guesses? Let's before I share with you what happened here, what do you think happened? What's your guess? This
what do I
just
think
came
happened?
Out today.
People that bought out their leases during the COVID situation, where the residual value of the lease was much lower than its actual market value, Nissan dealers felt slighted because there wasn't a profit-making tool in helping those people buy out their leases. So my guess is, just a guess, that they invented fees that needed to be added to the lease buyout that were fraudulent because they weren't stated in the lease agreement at the time that lease agreement was signed. So I don't know. I'm guessing inspection fees, certification fees. We just need some extra profit fees, whatever you want to call them. So is that what it was?
He's on the money, folks. This comes from WABC in New York. The Office of the New York State Attorneys General, Letitia James, announced Thursday that she secured a $1.9 million settlement with five New York Nissan dealerships, providing refunds to 1,138 consumers that, according to James, were overcharged when buying their car lease. Kudos to Seven on Your Side, because at the beginning of the pandemic, they were doing research on this and reporting on it. There's also journalists down in the state of Florida that do similar things and have done great work. Jeff Wine's here. Allegations involved overcharging customers thousands to purchase their car at the end of their lease by tacking on a random fee on top of the residual value or the pre-established price of the car at the end of the lease. Eyewitness News brought the problem to the attention of the Attorney General in March of 2022, but the first complaint goes all the way back to 2020. Let's look at the numbers, Dad. Let me come down here. The settlement requires car buyers to be reimbursed for fees that were overcharged between 2020 and 2023. Joe Macaluso, was charged almost $2,000 for what the dealer labeled a, quote, lemon law fee when he bought out his lease from Nissan of Staten Island. That dealer agreed to pay back $255.61 in all to 184 customers. Do the math, folks. Do the math. $282,255.61 going to 184 people. That's a lot of money each. Plus a $55,200 penalty. Let's keep going here. According to James's office, Nissan of Kings in Brooklyn settled to pay $437,560.86 to 420 car buyers and a $147,000 penalty. Nissan of Queens settled to pay $608,347.83 to 276 of their customers. Wow. Holy cow.
Yes. They really, their lemon law fee was, well, very lemony.
Oh my God. I mean, that's like almost $3,000 a pop, $2,500 a pop.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of money in extra fees.
Baron Nissan, $204,000 to 186 people, $51,000 penalty. Nissan of Westbury to pay back $102,000 to 72 customers. And nearly a $20,000 penalty.
Do you think for a second that it was only Nissan dealers in the state of New York that were doing that? I mean, are you telling me in a state as diverse and as populous as New York is that the only crooks in the automotive industry
are Nissan dealers?
Nissan dealers? Oh, I think there's more than enough crooked people in the automobile industry to, I don't know, cut across all brands. And that number of 1.9 million might be, I don't know, 1.9 billion. It is, listen, I am glad that they actually did something on behalf of their constituents who were taken advantage of. You know, it is plain and simple in the language of a lease that allows you to buy out your vehicle at the end as to what the price of that vehicle is and any fees associated with purchasing that have to be listed in the lease contract. And there's no fees in most cases listed other than the residual value. And dealers hate having to help facilitate a customer buying their vehicle out and not getting anything for it. They feel like, well, what the hell, we're entitled. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, you probably knocked their socks off when you leased them the vehicle in the first place. So, you know, if you treat them right when they buy out their lease, maybe they come back again in a couple of years and get another vehicle from you. But the people that you overcharged by thousands, they ain't never coming back, ever.
Two things. One, you're spot on. This is not Nissan specific. Okay. Well, there's no aspect of this.
In this article, it is.
But don't you're gonna confuse people by saying it is. It isn't. In this article, it is. It isn't. There is no ounce of this that is Nissan specific. Lease buyout fees are a tactic used by not good car dealers, not trustworthy car dealers, to make extra money because lease returns are not profitable for a dealership. Yes. Okay. So I want to be very explicit. It is not Nissan specific, even though this article says it's Nissan. It's not Nissan specific. The other thing is, you know, buying a lease out at the end of a lease, we've got great guides on that. CarEdge.com, lease end. Just Google search that. CarEdge, lease end. And that many of the automakers did things, their leasing companies did things that made it more difficult for consumers to buy out their leases. For example, during the pandemic, as a way to try and control where customers could do their lease returns, these automakers said you had to go back to your dealer. Nowhere in those contracts did it stipulate that. So there was all sorts of shady stuff at the dealer level and at the captive finance or at the leasing company level, trying to be more controlling over where consumers could you know, handle their lease buyout to try and give dealers an opportunity to get their hands on those cars. There's so much more than this one story that went on during the pandemic. I don't know if it'll ever get the attention it deserves, but not just Nissan, we can help you. And the automakers were also complicit in this to varying degrees.
Well, yeah, especially when they wouldn't allow payoffs to be made by anything other than the brand of the vehicle involved. My hope would be, strictly a hope, I have no idea, but maybe Seven on your side can figure it out and find out. But hopefully the Attorney General in New York is investigating other brands, other dealers of other brands, because if it was going on at Nissan dealers, it was going on at VW dealers and Honda dealers and Toyota dealers. And, you know, pick a brand, it doesn't matter, it was going on there. You know, everybody figures out what the hell's going on in the industry. If Jim hears that, well, Billy over at the Nissan store is charging $2,000 for a lemon law fee, and Jim's over at the Chevy store, and he goes, they're getting $2,000 for a lemon law fee when they do a lease buyout. We need to do the same. It's happening. And, you know, the idea behind this should be to figure out how to protect and reimburse all New Yorkers who got screwed when they bought out their lease.
100%. 100%. All right, Dad, you've got to be kidding me in just a moment. Before we do, I want to turn to the chat here. Austin.
Thank you, Austin.
Thank you for the kind contribution and always being here. Mazda said they can't take more than $500 off of MSRP if we pay cash for the car, but they can take $2,500 off if we finance through their preferred lender. Said we can pay it off in 90 days with no penalties. Is this common? We did an interview this morning with Consumer Reports. We talked about exactly this. Yes, this happens everywhere, every day. I would suggest doing business somewhere else, Austin. We've got Mazda dealers that we work with. We can help you out. But yeah, I mean, this is crap that goes on every day.
Yes. And please, you can't pay it off for 90 days. Well, that's just to protect the interest from the money they make from the bank for having placed the loan. If it gets paid off before 90 days, the money that the dealership got for placing the loan gets charged back. If there's no prepayment penalty at 90 days, my guess is there's no prepayment at 5 days or 7 days or 10 days. But you need to double check that. And, you know, is that a reasonable thing to do? Absolutely not. Okay. Is it a thing that many dealers do because, well, they're always looking for ways to make extra money? Yes, it is. So if you run into that situation and you're at that dealership, well, if you ran into it, you can run out of it. You run away, go find another. There are more than one Mazda dealers in this country. So.
Definitely. And also, we've seen some like side agreements that dealers have tried to get customers to sign. Just if it's a finance contract, make sure there's no prepayment penalty. I've never heard of tiered timing of prepayment penalties. So realistically, you could pay that thing off whenever. Just double check your contract. It's a tactic so that they don't get the charge back like you were describing.
Yes.
All right, Dad, we've got here from Aries. Thank you, Aries.
Thank you.
If I buy a car through CarEdge or buying a car through CarEdge looks good on the financial side of things, but how does the concierge handle the delivered condition on new out-of-state vehicle? How does CarEdge ensure undamaged inspected new condition? Great question. So we can't guarantee the condition of the vehicle when it arrives. I'm not driving the truck. Everything's insured. Everything's 100% insured. So that's the way that we make sure that everyone feels comfortable if they're buying a car from out of state. Every single thing is insured. Have we had issues that have cropped up? Yeah, it's come up maybe twice now where someone's received a vehicle and there was a scratch on it. So obviously we handle that. It's insured. It's taken care of. But yeah, unfortunately, I'm not the one driving the car, so I can't give you the specifics. But photos and videos before and after so that we can document things.
Go for it, Pops. And it is no different than the haulers that deliver the new cars to dealers.
Yeah. That's okay. Exactly. Those are the same companies that we work
with. Yeah, I mean, because literally when a trailer load of cars comes into a dealership, someone has to inspect those cars for damage. Because if there's any damage on those vehicles, it has to be noted, has to be signed by a dealer representative, and it has to be signed by the driver. And the transport companies have insurance to cover any damage that occurs to these vehicles in transit. No different than when they're on the boats. The same thing happens on the boats. If people had any idea as to the number of vehicles that come off a boat that have repairable damage that has to be done before the vehicle is shipped to the dealer, you'd poop your pants. Okay. It's a pretty big number. It's probably about 30 to 40% of the vehicles that are on those boats arrive with some type of damage. And that damage is taken care of at the port facilities before the vehicle shipped. And the dealer has no knowledge of it, because they don't share that with the dealer. And so oftentimes the vehicle that you're buying that is brand spanking new has had some minor paint work done or this or that done, because stuff gets damaged. It just does. Yeah. So
for sure. Yeah. Fortunately, it hasn't happened that often thus far for us. We help about 100 people a month through that side of our business. So it hasn't happened that often, which is great. But yeah, there's absolutely protections there. From Austin here, for them to turn down a cash offer for $2,000 below MSRP on the last day of the month when they have 153 Mazda CX-5s on their lot is wild. I agree.
That is wild.
That is wild. One of our dealer partners just had 42 new Mazdas dropped off yesterday. They've got another 42 coming in 2 weeks. They said to us, Zach, help. Go, help. So yeah, Mazda dealers actually have a significant amount of inventory, and you'd expect more willingness to negotiate. Our Mazda deals are well below invoice price, which is where 2,000 below MSRP would be as well.
I don't know if you need to talk to a new car manager or general sales manager or general manager. But yeah, you would think somebody would be willing to listen, especially if it's a cash deal that can be completed by, I don't know, tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. From our friend Chloe Apo, good to see you, Chloe Apo. Porsche quoted $2,000 for rear brake replacement. Ouch.
That's all? That's all they quoted? Come on. If you can't afford the brakes, you can't afford the Porsche. You can't. I mean, let's be realistic. How much is an oil change on a Porsche? It ain't 1995, I can tell you that. And if it is 1995, it's $1,995.
Hey, Drew asked a great question on the note of Mazda. Did they sell the Mazda 3, the manual Mazda 3? One of our CarEdge community members, I think, is at the dealership right now, getting it done. Trading in a vehicle and taking home the Mazda 3. So yes, we did get it done before the end of the month. I'll text you, Dad. I'll let you know when I know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that customer is at the dealership right now. Feels good to know that we helped everyone win there. Our favorite segment of the show, Pops.
Really? You gotta be kidding me. Oh my God.
All right, everyone. Happy Friday. Have a great weekend.
Oh my God. Nothing succeeds quite like failure.
For those of you that listen to the podcast, the headline was that I pulled up on the screen. Let me pull it back up so we can all see. Ford CEO Jim Farley's 2023 compensation rises to $26.5 million. This is, Dad, a 26% pay bump for the chief executive.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously. If you're losing hands over fist on your EV business, the quality of your vehicles is as poor as it's ever been. You led the league in recalls for the third year in a row last year. I mean, why wouldn't that qualify for a pay raise?
Dad, I got to get a pay raise, man. Like, I fail consistently at things. Give me more money. This is insanity. Like, this makes no sense.
No, it does not. You know, and yeah, I mean, I've always said it. Nothing nothing succeeds quite like failure, and apparently nothing pays quite like failure. And so I think part of my dilemma in life and why I didn't make as much as I probably should have is because I succeeded more times than I failed. And they don't pay you for success, apparently.
Last time I checked, when you went bankrupt on your golf store there, you failed, and that was not financially rewarding.
That one cost me 400 large.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's only money, though. You know, I made it back.
Chloepo, thank you, Chloepo. Paid $600 yesterday for an oil change. Wow.
Porsche's there you have it.
To own, man.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, why would you think brakes would be less than $2,000? What do you think a brake job is on a Bentley or a Rolls Royce?
Dude, I don't want to know what a BJ costs anywhere. All right, let's come here, Dad. We've got CarEdge.com, our company. We can help you out. It's the end of the month, which is when we run specials and promotions as well. Use our car search if you're out there searching for a car. Use our seller trade feature if you're looking to sell a vehicle. We've got the extended warranty vehicle service contract. So check that out. We've got the $200 off promotion that ends in 2 days and 11 hours, 28 minutes. Under tools, we've got all the various tools we have, how we help, our concierge service, our data, our coach, our consultation. Everything free at CarEdge is under resources up here in the top right. And if you want to learn more about me, my dad, our story, our team, you can check that out as well. Thank you, everyone, for being here with us. We appreciate it. We've got a really awesome holiday weekend in front of us, so please enjoy that. We will not be live tomorrow night unless something materially changes in our plans, but the plan for us is to be back on Monday.
Yes.
At what time, Pops?
I believe noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. Somebody I know and love, a couple people I know and love, I believe will be away for the weekend. And hey, if anybody sees somebody that looks like him in New Orleans, it's him. It'll be him.
First time going to New Orleans, excited to see and experience the city. And we're thinking about doing an in-person event in Chicago in May. So just throwing that out there. I don't know if people live in Chicago, but thoughts of an in-person event, a CarEdge or Ray and Zach event in Chicago. And yeah, folks, I didn't realize what I said when I said it, but don't take it out of context. All right. My bad earlier. Dad, I love you. Have a great day.
What did you say?
When we were talking about brake jobs.
Oh, I don't know what you said, so I'll play it back.